Welcome to the FinTech One-on-One podcast. This is Peter Renton, Chairman and Co-Founder of FinTech Nexus. I've been doing this show since 2013, which makes this the longest-running one-on-one interview show in all of FinTech. Thank you for joining me on this journey. If you like this podcast, you should check out our sister shows, the FinTech Blueprint with Lex Sokolin and FinTech Coffee Break with Isabel Castro. Or listen to everything we produce by subscribing to the FinTech Nexus podcast channel. Before we get started, I want to remind you that FinTech Nexus is now a digital media company. We have sold our events business and are 100% focused on being the leading digital media company for FinTech. What does this mean for you? You can now engage with one of the largest fintech communities, over 200,000 people, through a variety of digital products, webinars, in-depth white papers, podcasts, email blasts, advertising, and much more. We can create a custom program designed just for you. If you want to reach a senior fintech audience, then please contact sales@fintechnexus.com today. Today on the show, I'm delighted to welcome Sid Jajodia. He is the Chief Banking Officer of Revolut and the CEO of Revolut US. And Revolut is one of the biggest names in fintech globally. They began in London and are very strong in Europe and have been in the US for a bit over a couple of years. And wanted to get Sid on the show because I think what Revolut is doing is so interesting. We wanted to bring sort of this global perspective to fintech. And we talk about, obviously, what Revolut does, the products and that sort of thing. But we also talk about what's behind some of the moves they've made and why that they are really attacking fintech this way, very different to pretty much any other fintech company globally. And we talk about the new Revolut 10 product that was launched, what it is, why it's important. Sid provides his perspective on working with Nick Storonsky, one of the biggest names in fintech globally. And he also talks about what it's going to take to really scale the US in the similar way that it's done in other parts of the world. It was a fascinating discussion. Hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to the podcast, Sid.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for the opportunity.
My pleasure. So we go back quite a long way, about a decade when you first got a job at Lending Club. So I've been following your career for some time, but why don't you give the listeners some of the highlights of what you've done today?
Thank you, Peter. Yes, we do go back a long way. I think the short version of this is I've been in banking, financial services now over 20 years. I really grew up at Cap One, where I spent over a decade across a number of roles. Through consumer and small business credit, and that spanned product development, risk management, running the business in various ways. At the end of that, I decided, lots of exciting things happening in P2P lending and fintech. So moved to the Bay Area, joined Lending Club. That's where I met you. I launched business lending at Lending Club and then held other roles on the risk side, as well as my last role there was as chief investment officer, where I worked with all of the asset managers, banks, investors who were buying loans on the marketplace and worked with them to ensure they were successful. But internally, I was the voice of the investor, helping ensure risk return trade-offs were being managed appropriately for the people whose capital we were deploying. After what was then 16, 17 years in the US, we as a family had an objective to spend time and immerse ourselves in other cultures. My kids had just graduated from elementary school. We thought it'd be a great time to take them to Europe. So we moved to the Netherlands. I joined a startup that was focused on emerging markets. So it is a payments startup, online payment gateway. And I joined them to launch credit as an additional vertical, as well as digital banking in India. We were also, interestingly, an investor in other startups. So over the 3 years there, we were able to deploy close to $500 million in other startups, strategic investments, M&A activity. And then I joined Revolut about 2.5 years ago to lead banking for them globally. And then more recently, as a part of my move back to the States, took on the day-to-day responsibilities of running Revolut in the U.S.
So was the plan always to come back to the U.S.? Was that sort of the part of your family's plan? You've spent a bit of time in Europe and the UK. Was that always part of the plan?
Exactly right, Peter. I think the plan was to spend maybe 3 years in Europe, get the kids a chance to immerse themselves in other cultures, travel a bit, and then come back and have them finish out high school. So I have twin boys. Now they're both juniors. So we made it maybe a year. We stayed a year longer than we had initially planned to in Europe, but it's great. Like, we're back. We love it back in the Bay Area.
You moved to Revolut, obviously big name. We're going to talk about some of the details of Revolut in a second, but I want to first ask, what attracted you to the role at Revolut?
The simplest answer is I love the product. So in the role that I was at PayU in the Netherlands, I was traveling the globe a lot. We had, as I said, we were focused on emerging markets. We had a business, you know, the business itself spanned 30 plus countries. So I would travel a fair bit. And one of the things I learned very easily, very early on is my credit cards were not the ideal way to be spending when I was traveling. And so I started experimenting with some of these other apps that were available in Europe, and Revolut was one of them. I just love the product. It saved me a lot of money. The ease of use of navigating the app was great. So I was already a fan. And there was another feature of it, which was a junior feature, which is my kids could have sub accounts within my account and have their own junior card. So they were big users of the product. So we as a family had already started using the product, liked the product. So when Nick reached out, it was a no-brainer to me. Like, I was intrigued. I wanted to learn. Revolut was global across not just UK and mainland Europe, but had the ambition to be in so many other markets, which was a great opportunity for me to not only bring my experience and have an impact, but also to learn new things that are happening in these markets, what the competitors are doing, our ability to scale multiple products, multiple geographies in a short period of time. That to me was a fascinating thing that I wanted to be in the middle of. So a lot of different things lined up well.
Sure. So then how do you describe Revolut today overall? And what about the operation inside the US, which you're the CEO of? Is there any sort of nuanced difference to what's happening in the US than in other markets?
So Revolut is, we call ourselves a global financial super app. What that means is, A, we're global. We're now across 38 plus markets and growing. Super app is, the idea is customers can use us for many of their different needs. It's not a single product fintech. It's a multi-vertical, well-diversified company. And examples of that, we're across consumer and SME. And on the consumer side, we provide various things depending on the licenses in different geographies. But to name a few, multi-currency wallets, you can hold up to 30 currencies through the Revolut app. Remittances, cross-border payments, additionally domestic payments. So now in 29 markets in Europe, we are a full-fledged bank. So you can have a insured deposit account. We recently launched credit. In other markets where we're not a bank yet, we have either through partnerships with banks or through digital e-money licenses, have the ability to provide depository services, domestic payments. We've, over the last couple of years, started to scale our wealth and trading business. So in many markets, you can trade equities through the app. In Singapore, you can trade commodities as well, crypto trading on the app. In the US, we've launched a robo-advisor. We've just started testing it in the last few months, which we then plan to take globally. And then on the SME side, again, a bunch of different features, payments, cross-border payments, the ability to give employees unlimited number of virtual cards so you can distribute for different expenses. You can have different cards assigned, distributed to different employees with caps on them. We've integrated in certain markets like the UK. We've integrated with the payroll system of the government. So you can do payroll, a small business can do payroll for the employees through the Revolut app, but then it's directly connected to HMRC. So, the taxation and the reporting is managed directly. So again, like, lots of different financial products. But then on top of that, in Europe, we also have a product called Stays. So we're building lifestyle features into the app. A consumer can book their hotels through the app. And depending on what subscription plan you have, you get 5%, 10% cash back on your hotel expenditures through Revolut. So again, our objective is to have consumers come in, use the product for all of their day-to-day financial needs. Credit is something that's still relatively young, but we're looking to scale that. We're now in six markets and growing with credit. We plan to bring credit to the US, and I'll get into the US in a second. But we also want them to use it for other lifestyle features.
Can you give us a sense then, what's the size of the company, maybe the number of customers globally and in the US, maybe the number of employees globally and in the US? What sort of are we talking about here?
And this is a testament to the quality of the product and the value we're giving back to the customers. We now have 35 million plus customers globally, or Revolut. In the US, we started just a couple of years ago. So we're now getting close to 1 million customers in the US. We have over 7,000 employees globally. Our employee base is very diverse. We have over 100 nationalities represented in the employee base. The product is live in 38 plus markets. So mainland Europe, UK, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Singapore, US. We just went live in Brazil and continue to add. We hope to go live in the first half of next year in India and Mexico soon after.
Right. Interesting. So let's talk about the US market, because it's a competitive market. It's a fairly mature market when it comes to digital banking offerings. The Revolut brand, while I think it's very well known in Europe, in the UK, when I visit, I see Revolut everywhere. Not so much here in the US. So obviously you're trying to change that. How are you trying to differentiate yourself from the other, the other offerings that are out there?
You're right. I mean, Revolut is relatively new in the US, and we have our work cut out. It's a competitive market. Lots of great fintechs focused on different verticals. For us, at the end of the day, it comes down to the customer. What are the customer pain points? How can we deliver a better experience? We are a one-stop shop, so that's one place where we're clearly differentiated from other places, where you can do so many different things in one app. You don't need to fragment your financial life as much. So we look to continue to add on that in the US. Today, we have, as I said, just under 1 million customers. The products we have live in the US, the multi-currency wallet, remittances, cross-border payments, all of these are no-brainers for anybody who is an expat, an immigrant, professional working in the US, anybody who has either liabilities or sources of income in other currencies. This is absolutely a no-brainer. But we're not limited to focusing on just immigrants and expats. We are building products that are for mainstream US. So we have domestic payments. You get a cashback debit card. We're just in the early stages of launching credit. We've just piloted it. Next year, we look to scale it. We're launching a high-yield savings account. We already have a savings account, which yields 4.25%, but we're looking to launch a high-yield savings account in Q1. We have a license from FINRA, so customers can trade equities in the app. But we also, as I said earlier, we launched a robo-advisor product. So again, a broad suite of products. We're continuing to improve the products themselves with the end customer in mind. And the customers will tell us, as long as we're delivering value, we're delivering ease of use to them, we'll have permission to grow here.
Who is the typical customer in the US? And is it similar across the globe, or is this a little different?
Globally, we've seen customers of all ages and walks of life be our customers. In the US, because we're early in our journey here, what we've seen is the early adopters tend to be coastal. So urban, California, Texas, New York, some Florida, some of the coastal areas, urban centers, diverse populations. While they skew a little bit younger, they're not limited to a younger audience. We see, a significant number of our customers, like me, over 40, who use the product as they travel, as they, do business across borders. We've also seen some great adoption in recent quarters on the business side. We're growing our business customer base, our SME customer base in the US. Our revenues in that space specifically has just tripled in the last year alone. So strong adoption there. And as we launch credit next year, we expect that to grow.
Okay. So then how are you getting the word out to your target audience here in the US?
Globally, what started was by word of mouth. So our product, just worked so well in the US, given the multi-currency use cases in Europe were just more, it just went viral. So we didn't spend a lot on sort of above the line marketing, so to say. It was a lot of referral marketing and word of mouth. And the same thing is how we launched in the US. We haven't done any large brand advertising campaigns. The product speaks for itself. We incent existing customers, to bring in friends, families, anybody else who they think would benefit from using their Revolut app. We've done some performance marketing, but we're very disciplined. We want to make sure that our marketing yields a payback within a couple of years. So we're very disciplined in terms of growing the engagement on the product, growing ARPU, average revenue per customer, and then based on that, reinvesting some of that in marketing to scale it. So it's been primarily focused on performance marketing and referral marketing.
Okay, so you're the CEO of Revolut US, and are you still the chief banking officer? It says so in your LinkedIn profile that you're still the chief banking officer of Revolut. And is that a global position? And following up from that, is the intention then to get a banking license in every market, including the US?
So yes, I double-hatted Revolut. So I joined Revolut 2.5 years ago as a chief banking officer, which was to manage all of Revolut's markets. So I manage all the markets across Europe, Asia Pacific, as well as the Americas, as we continue to scale. And as a part of that role, I took on the direct day-to-day responsibilities of managing the US more recently. So I double-hat in that sense. The second part of your question around our ambition to be a bank. Our ambition is to be a bank in as many markets as it makes sense. So markets where we have a large presence, where we have a significant customer base, and where the regulatory regime supports us getting a license, we will look to become a bank. There are some markets where they have a limited number, like some markets where they've said we'll only give out 5 digital banking licenses, and they've all been given out. We realize we're not going to get there soon until at least the regulators change their mind about opening it up and making it more competitive. Places where we have significant customers using our product, adopting, Revolut, we would look to eventually become a bank.
And does that include, I mean, the US obviously is it's a challenging market right now. When I was talking with a lot of people in the regulatory space at a recent event, and it's hard right now for any fintech to get approved for anything. But so right now it's not, I mean, they were talking about it's impossible right now to get a banking license for a fintech. If you want to buy a bank, it's just the things are aligned. But is the eventual plan to get a banking license here in the US?
Eventual ambition, absolutely, Peter, is to be a bank in the US. I think that's when you have the most control over your operations, your decisions. But that's not immediate for us. So it's not on our immediate roadmap. What we're focused on right now is working with our existing bank partners and scaling customer adoption and achieving product market fit in all the verticals that we choose to focus on. So that's my focus and my team's focus right now. But at some point in time down the road, we will absolutely look to be a bank. I think the regulatory environment post some of the bank failures in the last year and some of the challenges with crypto fintechs in the recent years has toughened up. Regulation is important. What we're looking for is, the longer journey, which is customers are moving more and more towards mobile banking. Fewer and fewer customers walk into a branch. I don't know when I walked into a branch last. And so if you look at that direction of travel, U.S. banks have gone from 14,000 banks 15 years ago now to 4,000 banks. The number of branches continues to shrink. So the direction of travel is eventually there will be a handful of digital banks, digital-only banks that will succeed in the U.S., and our objective is to be one of those banks.
Okay, so I want to talk about the new product that you launched, which is sort of the catalyst for this interview, and that is Revolut 10. What is it, and why should we pay attention to it?
Revolut 10 is a complete overhaul of our app. So it's our latest version of our app. It's a complete overhaul. And the catalyst for it was, I talked about the journey where Revolut, now it's 8 years old. We started as a travel card in the UK and then over time have expanded into so many other products, customer segments. What that then needed was an overhaul of the app in a way where it was clearer for a customer both to discover the product set, the different products, find them, try them out, but also manage the app in a way where they could customize the widgets, have the things that they use more front and center, but then also customize it for their own sort of aesthetic. We have a bunch of different ways a customer can change the color of the background, organize the widgets, organize the information in a way that works for them. So the end objective was to allow a customer to organize their relationship with Revolut in a way that was most intuitive for the customer. And then with the ambition of us becoming the primary account. So I mentioned we're a bank now in 29 markets. As we launch more and more features, we're looking to not just be another account for our customers, but be the primary operating account for our customers. And so for that, it allows, you know, the flexibility that the Revolut then is designed with allows the customer to order all of that and make it easy and simple for them to manage all of their primary activities.
Gotcha. Well, I got to tell you, I downloaded the app the other day. I've downloaded a lot of apps over the years. And, you know, it's funny because I was on the Revolut waiting list for a long time and I just never got around to downloading the app. So I downloaded it and installed it and moved money into it. And it was the easiest experience I've ever had in working with a fintech app. And like connecting it with Apple Pay, I just got my app, my bank debit cards inside Apple Pay and just moving the money in. Obviously, you've really, really focused hard on user experience. What's your approach there? And is it drastically different than what it was a year or two ago?
You know, it's top down. Nick, as the founder, has been always 100% focused on the customer. You know, I sit in product reviews with him many times a week, and the questions he asks are all around the customer. So why would the customer do this? Why this feels too hard? This feels like there's too much friction here. Go back and work on this particular feature, make it easier. And all his questions are around sort of understanding how the customer is using the app, understanding the pain points, and how do we improve it? So, you know, top down, the company is very, very customer experience focused. And, you know, the Revolut 10 is the latest, I guess, in some ways, culmination of the design efforts to make it much easier. As we've expanded the set of things that a customer can use, you know, the natural result of that was a bit of clutter. And so this was a decluttering and a simplification of the CX for the customer while enhancing many of the features themselves.
Right, right. So I want to ask you about Nick Storonsky. He's the, you know, the CEO and founder of Revolut. He's also very, very well known in fintech circles. I mean, he spoke at one of our events many, many years ago, and he struck me as someone who was in a hurry to be successful, and he just had a lot of energy about him. But what's he like to work with on a day-to-day basis?
You know, I enjoy working with him, but, you know, going back, you asked me why I joined Revolut. One of the reasons I joined Revolut was Nick had laid out such a compelling but also audacious ambition for the company. Right. The idea that, you know, you can build a truly global digital only bank across so many markets with so many products in such a short period of time, to me, it was just audacious. I hadn't, you know, I worked at a lot of companies. I hadn't seen that degree of sort of ambition, but the compelling vision. And then if you look at it, 8 years into the journey, what Nick has achieved, like what Revolut has achieved, but it's driven by Nick's sort of desire to that sort of that customer focus, is amazing, right? So it's a testament to what he's done. You know, I spent a year, my first year at Revolut, I spent in London, so I worked closely with him there. And then even while I'm here in the US, while I don't see him day to day, I work closely with the overall the whole team there. I've enjoyed my time working with Nick. It's been a great relationship. He's very clear on what the direction of the company is, very clear on what he expects of people. He's very, very focused on the impact we can have as a company, and it's all been around building. So it's great energy to feed off of.
Like in the UK, Revolut's very, very well established, one of the big three sort of early fintechs that have made it big. Here, I said you've only been here a couple of years, so you've got a little bit of time to go. Obviously, there are some names that you're competing against that are very well established and a large scale. What's it going to take for the US business to get to sort of a similar position that you have in the UK and Europe?
Yeah, I mean, it's a journey. So at the end of the day, we have a lot of different products that are in the app. For us to succeed in the US, it goes back to the customer. What are we giving to the customer in terms of value? What are we giving in terms of customers back in terms of time by simplifying things for them? If we make it easier for a customer to do something, the customers will use us for it. So the challenge here is obviously there are some other fintechs that have first mover advantage on some of the features. For example, P2P payments in Europe, Revolut's a verb. I'm going to revolute to you the money, right? Here you have other fintechs who fit that sort of bucket. So we have to continue to sort of innovate. We have to continue to strive to earn the customer's trust and their business. And we're confident, given Revolut's DNA around product innovation and customer focus, we'll succeed here.
Right. Okay. So then I'd love to kind of end with what your vision is. You have sort of touched on it a little bit, but maybe we could dive a little deeper into what is Revolut's vision for the future of financial services overall? Obviously, it's going to be digital, but I'd love to kind of get your sense of that.
I think, you know, we call ourselves a company that wants to make financial services borderless. Borderless both in terms of geographical national boundaries, where for anybody who's in a country, we make your lives easy using the product domestically. But for those who also go across borders, you know, I personally have lived across continents. I've lived in four countries. Each time you move to another country, you have to start your financial life from scratch. The banks don't recognize you. You have to sort of shut these accounts, open new accounts. What we want to make it is as seamless as possible for someone to live their financial life across borders. So that's sort of one clear ambition in future. The second is we want to make it easy for it to be a one-stop shop. A lot of the move away from the large banks in the past was frustration with how the bank engages with you. The data is siloed. Just because you use one product, you doesn't necessarily mean you can use the other products. We want to make the technology work for the end customer in a way that it makes the multi-product relationship seamless. And if you see how we've operated so far, we have multiple subscription tiers, plans. It's all towards that, where you can do multiple things and you get more value out of it. And you see the benefit, not just in terms of resource, but in terms of price that accrue to you. So for us, it's about use all the latest innovations and technology to give the end customer more control over their own lives. I know it sounds like a lot of mission statement type things, but you know, every day that's what's driving us. It's what drives us to improve the feature set as we do.
Well, yeah, it's a great thing for consumers to have companies like Revolut really breaking new ground with a lot of what you guys have done in your existence has really broken new ground. But anyway, that's all we have time for today, Sid. It's great to catch up with you again. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening all the way to the end of this episode. I really appreciate it. This is our last recording of 2023. I would like to take this opportunity then to thank you for coming on this fintech journey with me. I appreciate you listening, and also wanted to wish you all a happy holiday season, however you celebrate it. Hope you have an enjoyable and relaxing time, and we will see you back here in 2024.